We turn in the holy word of God this evening to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Our text will be the first part of verse 4. I will mention the second part of verse 4, but our text is really the first part of verse 4. Let's read the psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, God is speaking now, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. To that point, we read the holy and inerrant word of God. Our text is the first part of verse 4. I'll just read the whole verse, however. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Children, do you have a secret place? The psalmist begins this psalm that way. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. A secret place is a place to go when you're scared, when you want to be alone for a while. When I was a child, as many other children, I made forts, and I loved to go to my fort as my secret place when I wanted to be alone. The psalmist in Psalm 91 understands that feeling, that desire at times to be in a secret place. Only for the psalmist, he is thinking not merely of a secret place, but the secret place. And his need to know himself in that secret place is the need, the great need, that is met only by that secret place. The secret place that the psalmist is describing is the knowledge, the consciousness of God's overshadowing protection of me, His child. And entering the secret place, going into the secret place, is by word and spirit, by prayer and supplication, consciously arriving at faith's knowledge that that overshadowing protection is mine. It happens chiefly in the house of God under the chief means of grace. As that word is proclaimed, we enter the secret place as faith takes hold of that word and knows God's overshadowing protection. We enter that secret place through the word in our own personal devotions, in our own meditation upon the word, in our own prayer life. But dwelling in the secret place is living in the consciousness of His sovereign, overshadowing care. The whole of Psalm 91 describes this overshadowing protection. Psalter number 248, which is a versification of Psalm 91, catches the theme of Psalm 91 correctly when at the top of the page it has overshadowing protection. We'll sing that after the sermon tonight, but that's the point of the whole psalm, God's overshadowing protection. That overshadowing protection of the secret place is nowhere described more wondrously in the psalm and really sums up the whole of that overshadowing protection than in verse 4, where the psalmist pictures the secret place as being covered in Jehovah's feathers and the consciousness of being under His wings. Psalm 91 has three parts to it. The first part is verses 1 and 2, where the psalmist makes a personal confession of his own trust in that secret place. His own knowledge and experience of that overshadowing protection. It's first person singular in the first two verses. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And then in verses 3 through 13, there is the second section where the psalmist reaches out through the page, as it were, and teaches God's people, and you too have that same overshadowing protection, and you may trust it. Notice the change of pronouns from verse 2 to verse 3. Verse 2, they were first person singular. In verse 2, now it's you, thee. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover thee with His feathers. And that extends all the way to verse 13. He's teaching the church, what I am confessing here, what I know to be mine, is yours too. And then in the last three verses of the psalm, 14 through 16, God Himself speaks. God Himself comes in. Of course, it's all God speaking in one sense. It's His word. But God directly speaks now at the end of the psalm and, as it were, confirms everything the psalmist has been promising us. Because He hath set His love upon me, God, therefore will I deliver Him. I, God, will set Him on high. Because He hath known my name, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Our text for tonight is in the second section then, where the psalmist is speaking to the people of God and saying, this overshadowing protection is yours. It's reserved for you too. Promise confirmed by God's own voice at the end of the psalm. If this is Moses writing this psalm by inspiration, and likely it is, then you think of Moses' experience of God's overshadowing protection in his own life, being spared in that little handmade boat on the river, preserved in faith in the house of Pharaoh, preserved before Pharaoh, leading the Israelites out. He is my refuge, says the psalmist. My God, in Him do I trust. And now, church, trust Him too. You too. Let's meditate upon that tonight and use that image, so beautiful image in verse 4, to do it. Under His wings is the theme, under His wings. Let's notice first the need, second the protection, and third the calling under his wings. The need, the protection, and the calling. If God is being described in verse 4 as a bird, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, then in that image, you and I are the chicks. Don't take offense at that, do you? You and I are the chicks. In two ways. As chicks lived in a dangerous environment, so we. And as chicks are weak and vulnerable in that dangerous environment, so we. So first of all, then, chicks live in a dangerous environment where the need for protection was great. As the psalm goes on and the psalmist gives the dangers that we need this overshadowing protection from, you notice that through the psalm he keeps this image of mother bird and baby birds in mind. In verse 3, he speaks of the danger of the snare of the fowler. A fowler is someone who catches fowl birds. And a fowler would use a snare to catch those birds. A string made into a noose with some bait in the middle and some sort of a trip wire so that when that bird came in to get the bait, the noose tightened around him and he was caught. Terrible danger to the little chicks. In verse 13, the psalmist speaks of the danger of the lion and the adder. An adder is a cobra. And then the young lion and the dragon. The word for dragon is simply serpent. It's another reference to snakes, lions, and snakes, animals that love to hunt and to eat small birds. Even the pestilence that he speaks of in verse 3, the noisome pestilence, and again in verse 6, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, has reference specifically to pestilence upon animals. It's the same Hebrew word that's used in the description of the fifth plague that came upon the animals of Egypt in Exodus 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be very grievous murrain. Same word as pestilence, murrain, dangers all around for little birds. There are other dangers spoken of in the psalm as well. The terror at night, the arrow by day, describing an invading army. Dangers that correspond to the other image that the psalmist uses in verse 4 of a warring soldier who needs a shield and a buckler. And we'll talk about that part of the verse briefly as well. But the main thought in the images of the danger connect to the first part of verse 4. The danger for those birds that need the overshadowing protection of the mother hen. It's a dangerous world for chicks. With fowlers about, and murrain, and young lions, and snakes all around. And it would be one thing, beloved, if little birds had some protection, if they had some ability to defend themselves from these things. But the young bird does not. It has no ability. In addition to being in such a dangerous place, it has no defenses. It is not a fox. It is not a dog with great teeth and jowls. It doesn't have speed. It's not a snake or a lizard that can slither away and hide or has some poisonous fangs to defend itself. It's one of the most vulnerable creatures there are. It can't even fly yet, this little bird, and go up into the heavenlies and escape all the danger that is below. It's a good picture of us. We live in a dangerous world. A great serpent has slithered his way in and brought with him all sorts of dangers. After the fall of man into sin, God's curse is unleashed upon this world, and there are dangers at every turn, dangers both physical and spiritual. All due to the fall, physical dangers too due to the fall, troubles that are written into us from the moment we exist in this world, in the genes, there are physical dangers. From the moment of conception, troubles physically are already there often. And from there on out, there's every danger physically that you can think of. From cancer to car accidents, tornadoes to ticks, broken bones to broken hearts, Down syndrome to depression. There are spiritual dangers that are much worse. And that too begins at the moment of conception, doesn't it? Because of the fall into sin, original sin, the effects upon us. Spiritually, the moment of conception, we have this nature that is depraved and that is bent towards certain things that will be snares for us. A corrupt stock produces corrupt offspring. And from there on out in our lives, we face these spiritual dangers, the snare of sin that is set before us. Trap is laid, and the bait in that trap is oh so tempting. And we're drawn because of what's inside of us, drawn to things that feed our pride, drawn to things that feed our lust, that play off of our insecurities, that take advantage of our quick temper, our self-pity, our discontentment, our complaining spirit, our love of revenge, our love of control, our love of the spotlight, our love of anonymity, and how easily we can be caught, snared. Pestilence of sin. How sin can spread. And spread within an individual's life like a sickness, like a disease spreads from a little cough to something totally debilitating. Look what it does when it gets a foothold into your heart. It doesn't stop. It spreads itself, gets stronger, affects other areas of your life, so that little spiritual cough becomes convulsions and we give ourselves more and more to sin. Be warned, young people, be warned. It's all a lie. It says, just give me a bit. Just give me a bit. That's all I'll take. It never takes just a bit. It always wants more. It's always a pestilence wanting to spread itself farther and farther into your life. Think of how a pestilence spreads not only within an individual person, but from person to person. Is that not sin too? How, like a coronavirus, it spreads from one to the next. There is a contagion to conscious, willing sin. Who has not seen it spread in a family? Who has not seen it spread in a friend group? Who has not seen it spread in a line of generations? Who has not seen it spread amongst a people and even blind them to the point where they can't see it? Snare, pestilence. And the sneaky snake slithers, and he lies about all of it. It's no pestilence. It's good for you. It's good for you. It will be great. You'll see. You'll love it. And the lion roars about all of it. You follow along, or you're going to suffer. It's a dangerous world for us little chicks. And then, beloved, the same snake and the same lion and the accusations they hurl with whisper and roar as the guilt of our sins rise up against us and they press it home to us. You can't possibly be one of his chicks, can you? You're bound for hell, you know, it's sure. We're caught in their fangs and in their jowls. There could be no way that he cares for you. Who else has this in their past? Who else has done this or thought that? The guilt, oh, the guilt, the regret. And we can't just act as though it didn't happen because it did. And the devil pounces like a lion. And the snake slithers and he whispers, as he did in the garden, he's not good for you. He does not love you. He does not mean to do you good. And it would be one thing, beloved, if we had some defense, but we don't. We have nothing, nothing in ourselves. We are helpless as those little chicks by nature. We are no angels. We are not gods. We're born with a weakened physicality that's subject to so many physical problems. We're born with a dead nature spiritually that can do nothing to prevent the snare and the fowler and the serpent and the lion from overtaking our lives. We're helpless, utterly helpless, vulnerable, in utter danger. Are you ever afraid of this? From one point of view, I suppose, if we're not, how foolish are we? We have no idea what world we inhabit and who we are in it. And the little chick cries out, where is protection? What can overshadow me? Is there protection to be found? As the child looks for the secret place to be safe, child of God cries out, is there such a place? And the psalmist answers that there is, beloved, there is. And it is under the overshadowing protection of the providential care of Almighty God. That is what is being described in the image in verse 4. When the psalmist describing God says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His overshadowing protection. The first part of that line is the sure reality of it, the objective fact of it. Think of the first part of that line as looking down on that bird with its chicks under his wings from above, looking at it. He shall cover thee with his feathers. And then the second part of that line is the subjective. And now you come down, and from the perspective of the chick under that wing, looking up and seeing the feathers over top of himself, and under his wings shalt thou trust. If you've never seen the image that the psalmist uses here, you must, even if only on the internet, Google it, find it on YouTube, search for it. It's something we all know, but to see it, even on a screen, if that's the only way you can see it, it's a marvelous thing, marvelous thing. And a mother bird, whether a pelican or eagle or a hen will take her chicks under her wings to protect them, to keep them safe. And the chicks will run there when they are frightened and in danger. In fact, this is one of the great images of God's providential care for his people used in the scriptures, showing the wonderful truth that the physical is made to reflect the spiritual. The psalmists turn to this image again and again. Psalm 17, 8 and 9, "From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Psalm 57, verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 63, verse 7, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Psalm 61, verse 4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Here is safety. Here is security. Whose wings are these? They're God's. "He shall cover thee with his feathers." The reference to God as described with four names in verses 1 and 2. The Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, all capitals, Jehovah, and God, Elohim. That's who. Verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." This is whose wings these are. There are people upon this earth who are in high places. But this is the Most High. King of kings. Lord of lords. Head of heads. Absolute dominion is his clothing. "Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the Shaddai, the Almighty One, the every amount that possibly could be mighty." There are powerful people, powerful forces in this world, but this is the Almighty One, and every other power is derived from Him. "I will say of the Lord, Jehovah, He is my refuge, the unchanging one, the covenant God, the faithful one who keeps promise to 1,000 generations, the one who does not change, the one whose power is used to keep his word, fully committed to his purposes in Jesus Christ, never swaying from them to the right or the left, always constant and true. My God, in him will I trust." Elohim describes him especially in his creative power. He's the God of creation who speaks and it is accomplished. Power calls things into existence that were not. This is whose wings they are. And now this great and majestic God allows himself, nay, determines himself, to be termed for your benefit and mine as a mother hen covering us with those almighty feathers. Isn't that marvelous? Calvin says, "When we consider the majesty of God, there is nothing which would suggest a likeness such as is here drawn between him and a hen or other birds who spread their wings over their young ones to cherish and to protect them." In other words, when you consider the majesty of this God in those four names, you would never come to the conclusion yourself that probably this God would describe himself as a mother hen to his people. But, Calvin continues, "in accommodation to our infirmity, he does not scruple to descend, as it were, from the heavenly glory which belongs to him and to encourage us to approach him under so humble a similitude." Spurgeon adds, "Had it been invented by an uninspired man," this reference to God as a mother hen. Had it been invented by an uninspired man, it would have verged upon blasphemy. For who should dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? But as he himself dictated the language, we have here a great condescension, such as it becomes us to admire and adore. This is the Most High. This is the Almighty. This is Jehovah. This is Elohim. He speaks and the cedars of Lebanon break. And yet when it comes to his covenant people for their comfort, he will compare himself to a hen keeping her chicks under his wings. What does the psalmist David say in one place? Thy gentleness hath made me great. The unbeliever, beloved, does not fear God in those four names, and therefore he ends up doomed to be terrified of God. The child of God fears God in those four names, but he is not afraid of him. For he comes like this, for his people's comfort and care. The protection is described as a covering of those wings. It's an amazing thing when the mother bird places her chicks under her wings. She so covers them that you cannot even tell that those chicks are there. They are utterly covered. We're going to describe that coverage in spiritual detail in a moment. But for now, recognize that God's overshadowing protection is absolute and total. He leaves no part of his people exposed. Nothing. People take out insurance policies, and that's fine, of course. Part of God's providential use at certain times in history. But when we speak about those policies, we use this language, don't we? I have this coverage. Or the insurance salesman says, you have this coverage, but here you are exposed. Beloved, there is no insurance policy that can cover you like the overshadowing wings of Jehovah God covers his people. You can purchase every insurance known to man. Medical insurance, car insurance, hurricane insurance, ice storm insurance, and every other kind, but apart from being under his feathers, you stand exposed. Exposed to death, to wrath, to hell, to sin, to Satan, to circumstances beyond your ability to predict or control. And what the insurance does cover doesn't save you from the wrath that is found in the difficult circumstances of this life. Only in him is there full coverage, body and soul, life and death, wherever we are, in whatever situation. And never does it run out. Never are there premiums that come in through the mail that we have to pay lest we risk losing this coverage and protection. It is sure and steadfast. It is constant. He shall cover thee, and he shall cover thee. It is all dependent upon him and cannot fail. When you read this text tomorrow, it's still going to be true and absolute. When you read it 10 years from now, the coverage will be the same. He shall do it. He shall cover his people utterly. For whom is it? It is for those who are his chicks. His chicks. A hen doesn't gather every chick in the farmyard under his wings, but only hers. So too, God, for his own, those who are in Jesus Christ, who come to this consciousness of the great danger that they are in, the vulnerability that they know, and turn to him and say, protection is only here, Father, and nowhere else. Nowhere else. Humbled and needy. And finding Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that we know these feathers, these wings of God over us. In Luke 13, verse 34, the Lord Jesus himself takes this image from the Psalms and applies it to his own self. They're his wings, his feathers, leaving aside the interpretation of the passage for now. The Lord says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee? As a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Christ is the feathers covering. Christ is God's wings over us. Faith in him knows those feathers are mine, are over me. Personally, it's the only way. And then it's in the second person singular. For me, beloved, for me. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. This is personal for God's people. For you, child of God, for you, your secret place, your secret place, under his wings, and his feathers. More specifically now, what does that coverage do? This overshadowing protection. How do these wings protect us from the dangers of this world? Three things. First, there is a story from a book from the 1940s about a firefighter who was putting out a forest fire along with many other firefighters. And after the fire was out, he came upon a bird on the ground. The bird was charred. It was not moving. He went up to it, tapped it a bit with his boot, and out came three little chicks. The mother was dead, charred by the fire, but the three chicks had survived under the wings of their mother. Here is the first sense in which we are protected, covered under his overshadowing wings. For the guilt of sin, or believing of those lies, snared by the fowler. We deserve the fires of God's wrath upon us. The slithering snake is right in one thing, beloved. We deserve to go to hell, we do. But in Jesus Christ, God himself takes the fires of his own wrath upon himself in our place, and we are covered by his feathers and are safe. Protected. That's first. Second, when there is a dog or a young lion or a snake about, a mother bird will take her chicks, put them behind her wings, and make herself big, and she will defend her little ones from the strongest predators. It's quite a sight to behold as animals much larger than her are scared away. He will either lead us not into the temptation, or when he determines that the temptation would be for our profit, then he will deliver us from the evil one. Never shall we be utterly consumed. Always he preserves us. Always he defends us from the jowls of the evil ones, the predators, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. The serpent cannot utterly consume us. The fowler cannot take us home and make us his supper. Even if caught for a time in the snare of sin, he will deliver us. He will break us, bend us to our knees, restore us to himself. Psalm 124, verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Part of this preservation is that he gives us truth. His truth is a shield and buckler to use in our life to deflect attacks. A shield is a reference to the big shield that covered the whole body. The buckler is a small shield about the size of a plate that was grasped by the hand and covered here so that in sword fight you could move it and defend easily from a sword thrash. God's truth is both. It stops the arrows that fly in, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and it stops the direct sword thrusts of the evil one. Hold on to his truth. His truth is our shield and buckler. Take hold of his truth. Don't sway from it to the right or to the left. What do we have if we have not his truth? When temptations come, when false doctrines come, when accusations of the evil one come, what do you have except truth? Defend yourself in the church. He gives us the shield and buckler of truth as part of his protection, his overshadowing wings over us. Third, so first, protection from the wrath against sin due to us. Second, protection from being utterly consumed by our enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Third, pelicans and eagles make massive nests high up in the trees to escape predators below, but they're exposed to the storms, the wind, and the rain. A mother pelican, eagle too, but a mother pelican will take her young utterly under herself so that you cannot see them when she senses that a storm is coming. And those chicks will be safe from wind and rain. So too, beloved, God's providence in the circumstances of our life, and the effects of the fall, life under the curse in this world, there is protection only here in the overshadowing wings of Jehovah God. What insurance policy can avert all evil or turn it to your profit? Behold, the overshadowing protection of the Almighty. He has all things in his hand. And he does this. He averts the evil or he turns it to our profit. We don't think about the first part enough. How many things we will discover in the end that were averted by him because he knew we were not ready. It would consume us. And then what he allows to come upon us, he works for our profit. Can all state hold back the car accident from you until the precise moment, the perfect time when it will work for your advantage in salvation and make it do that for you? Can your health insurance hold back that disease and then bring it upon you at the perfect time for your eternal welfare and salvation and for the welfare of others around you and say to it, this far and no farther, only the sovereign God provides this protection. As you know from this morning, I don't know what's going to happen with this call. I don't. But what I do know, beloved, is that ultimately you are not under my wings, but His. Whether I stay or go. And what I do know, because a pastor is cared for by his congregation, and you have cared for me, and I trust you will too if I stay, I am ultimately not under your wings, but His. And whatever His will may be, we are under His wings together. We look up and we see those feathers over us. The overshadowing protection of Almighty God. And like the little chick nestles in under the care of its mother, by faith and through the Word, we nestle in to the overshadowing protection of our great covenant God. That's the calling of the text. Trust. Trust. Under His wings shalt thou trust. Shalt thou believe? Shalt thou rely upon? Shalt thou be at peace? And God's people shall, under His wings, shalt thou trust. Shall trust Him there. Oh, there are doubts at times. Times that we forget and do not see those feathers over us. But when the Word of God makes known to us the truth, as it does now, God's people look up and they see those wings there, above us, around us. You shall trust. The Spirit works it by the Word of God within us. And joys and sorrows and pains, struggles. It's when we forget that that's the secret place that fear comes. When we see it by word and spirit, faith lays hold of it. Then verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by day, or the hour, or the arrow that flieth by night. This is what it means then, to come into the secret place, to abide under the shadow. We're objectively there, all of God's people are. We don't always remember it. But to abide is to be conscious of it through the Word, to know that. That's where I am. I'm safe, for He is God. Nothing past, present, or future shall destroy me. It all is ordered perfectly for my salvation. Then when the child of God falls into sin and repents of that sin, humbled, and the guilt is overwhelming, he trusts, looks up and he sees those wings once charred. Bear wrath's fires for me. When sin seems to have us in its noose, we come to that Word, to those wings, and say, deliver me, Lord God. Keep me. We take up the shield and the buckler of truth against temptation. Come under the protection consciously of His Word. When the circumstances of life seem to be too troubling, too great, we look up and see His wings over us and rest in Him. All is under His sovereign control. You don't say, "But they're only feathers." Ah, but they're His feathers. Most High, the Almighty, the Jehovah, the Elohim. In rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, sickness and health, riches and poverty, yea, and in all things, insecurity, loneliness, abandonment, drawn by His great grace, His powerful Word, may it be said of us, beloved, what Boaz said to Ruth. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me, all that thou hast done since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Amen. Let us pray. Father, bless the proclamation of thy word, that we might enter to the secret place and know thy overshadowing protection. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.